Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome everyone to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and today I am joined by Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Greetings, programs. It's going pretty good. Just another balmy, warm, wet summer, and lots of games to play.
I'm also joined by Matt today. Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Now, before we get in this week's topic, which is VR... let's get into some quick housekeeping. If you like us, subscribe and rate us. It does help us get out in front of more people. You can check us out on Twitter at GameStuffCast. You can check us out on our Facebook group. Just search the GameStuff Podcast, request an invite, and we'll invite you. And don't forget, we do have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/provengamer. Now, let's get our topic... Actually... Let's get this party started with how we always do.
Kalai's had a long week.
Oh, yeah. Roberto, have you been playing anything fun this week?
I played a bunch of stuff, and also in preparation for our topic of discussion tonight, some interesting games. The first thing that I'm going to mention, game is a special little shmup. It's actually available for the Switch, called Earth Atlantis. Have you heard of it?
Hmm. Is it underwater?
No, it's in space, on the underwater of another planet. No, it's underwater. Yeah.
So... It's weird that it's called Earth Atlantis, and it doesn't take place underwater or on Earth.
It does.
Right?
Yeah, I was playing... That does sound pretty cool, though, because Earth could mean a different dialect or different terminology, you know? But in any case, there's Earth 2, or
and then, yeah, true. If you're right.
A Justice League... Crisis on Two Earths guy, then there's a bunch of Earths. But in any case, yeah, it's a nice little Metroidvania-ish type of a shmup. So, there was a big calamity. Most of the Earth's surface is underwater, and you are the last humans, and you're trying to hunt these robotic enemies out there. So, among them, there's actually, like, giant robot, squid, robot, octopus, robot sharks. They try and destroy you. Your objective is to hunt all of them down. There's 40 targets. And you're in one of several ships that, you know, fires left and right, and your objective is to shoot everything. But it's cool because in some spots of the game, you can face any boss you want first. So you don't have to face the one that's closest to you, you can face the one that's furthest. And I actually tried my damnedest with some of those enemies, because one of them was a big sunfish, if you ever know, or like tuna, you know, I think it's sunfish, though. And it fired lasers and torpedoes in a small box, and the lasers bounce off the wall, so that was really, really
fun.
Yeah,
that sounds exciting.
I did a good hour and a half to try and wipe that guy out, and I was successful, but tricky little video game.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Is the game monochrome?
Oh, so that was one neat thing. The developers took into account the illustrations of...
Maps?
Ancient sea maps and, sea shanty maps, so... as you know, back in the day, thousands of years ago, there was always the belief of things like, you know, ancient mythical beasts, the kraken, the, you know, giant squid, giant crabs, giant, you know, nautiluses, what have you. And this is a game that, like, you know, it kind of embraces that style. So everything's like done in that, it looks like a Game Boy game almost in a sense. Like, it's like yellow and black, and there's different shades of the different blacks and grays. So it's actually a very nice, pleasing looking game. So,
yeah, I'm looking up some screenshots now, and the art looks very interesting.
Yeah, so it's a pretty neat game. I would definitely recommend that for anybody looking for a cool little distraction from time to time. The next game I played was a brand new game, and I'm actually excited to talk about this more, and I'm going to probably gush about it more further next week. Mother Gunship.
I have heard of that, but I haven't played it myself.
I might actually list it as Shooter of the Year. I don't think anything's going to top it, so it's...
Settle down.
Yeah, settle well, down. So here's how it goes. The team made a game called Tower of Guns a few years ago for the PlayStation 4 and PC. It was like a steampunkish, anime-inspired type of game where you go into a giant tower, you're supposed to ascend the tower, destroy everything inside, but, you know, you're going to die a lot. But the levels were procedurally generated, the enemies were procedurally generated, the guns were pretty wacky. So it was a really neat game. Now, Mother Gunship is that same concept, except you're hopping from spaceship to spaceship in a literal huge alien armada. Your objective is to destroy each ship from the inside out, but you can actually customize your gun to become the most devastating weapon anyone has ever fired. So each gun has different ports. You can add, like, so literally you could have a machine gun with a rocket launcher, with a shotgun, with a disc flying saw, buzz saw, with an energy pack, and anti-gravity rounds. So that way, like, you know, the bullets, like, they don't drop over gravity. They just float directly to your target. So it is. So yeah, like, there's actually a trophy in there to make a 20 slot guns, which is like 20 different slots of firepower. So the more the cost is, though, the more slots that you add, the more gun pods you add to your weapon, the more energy you consume. So like, you might be able to shoot once every 10 seconds if you have.
So when you, all right, so let's say you have all 20, right, and you pull the trigger, all 20 things fire at the same time.
That is correct.
That's fucking crazy.
So it's actually a really wild game, and it reminds me a lot of, like, the 90s type of sci-fi first-person shooters. It also has a kind of cool slapstick humory type of story. Like, it reminds me a little of Total Recall. You know, at one point...
Did you say it was procedurally generated, like, roguelike?
I believe, yes, it does have those elements, because, like, each ship might have a different thing. The good news is that it's not, like, a beat-you-into-the-ground type of roguelike. So there's a single-player campaign. The roguelike parts come from the things around in the single-player campaign. So they're, like, the big ships that you have to destroy, but then there's these smaller ships to gather resources, gun parts, things like that. And their objectives and the enemy placements are randomized. But the main ship that, you know, I'm on, like, Mission 4, for example, that stays the same. Also, if you... The one drawback is if you... Let's say you assemble that 20-gun part and you die. You will lose all 20 parts in the level for good. So then you'd have to go to another ship and get more parts or something like that. So it's a little bit like Lego with guns. So, it's a wonderful game. I'm digging it. I'm going to probably have, like, more impressions.
That sounds right up my alley. Like, I feel like I might have to pick that up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 15, 20 bucks. The team is really, really cool. I would highly recommend it. Speaking of space... The next game, Tempest 4000.
Still?
Tempest. Still.
Solid game.
Oh, yeah. So Tempest is, that was like the crisis of the arcade era. So they, like it would just melt arcade cabinets. So they said, okay, you know, let's bring this to PS4 and PC. So it's a wonderful little arcade video game. Great, 60 frames per second, lots of particle and psychedelic effects. The guy, Llamasoft... A.K.A. Jeff Minter, a.k.a. Llamasoft. He made, like, games like Super Giraffe 3 and other bizarre things that are really cool. He has a thing for llamas and giraffes. He made the game, so, and it's in collaboration with Atari. All right, the second to last game I have is Yis Origin. That's Y-S Origin. And have you guys heard of that?
Or any of the I know the series.
Yeah, I know the series, too.
So it's like, it's cool because it's a game that has three-dimensional, it's like a PS1 classic game. It's like it has three-dimensional environments, but it also has like those 2.5D sprites. And I'm not going to lie, the game, when it sinks your teeth into you, it doesn't let go. Like, I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night, well, Sunday morning technically, trying to conquer this boss with the gargoyles. And it was just like, it was annoying as hell, but I couldn't get enough out of it. It was really, really good. And,
that's cool.
Yeah, lastly, on the Nintendo, Nintendo Switch, I'll have more games to mention later on, because I actually just downloaded a couple. And I played games that I already mentioned. I played Implosion. One other, for a PSVR game, I played Starblood Arena.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
So it's like, think of it like Descent. But in multiplayer, it's like you fly a ship, there's other players, you have to blow them out of the sky. It's kind of cool. It reminds me like a little bit like Ratchet and Clank with the characters. It's a lot of fun. The music's really cool. The gameplay's really good. And then your motion sensing is slave to your head movement. So, like, when you look to your right, your gun turrets will point to the right. So if you got an enemy on your 3 o'clock position, you look to your 3 o'clock position, the gun turrets will fix on the 3 o'clock position and fire. So it's actually pretty neat, yeah. So I'll mention more details about that because I played a bunch of VR games actually in the last day or so. And when we get to our discussion, and because it's relevant. So anyways, that's about it for me for the week. Next week I'll have hopefully a little more news about some of the Switch games I'm playing. I do have some PS4 and Switch games that are not available yet. And I have gotten some review access to it, but they are under embargo and my lips are sealed. So that being said, let's go to Kalai or go to Matt. Oh, there's an order here? Okay. Oh, okay. There's no die. I got a die here and then I can just roll the dice, but okay, fine, Matt.
Yeah. Wait, here's a question.
Roll for initiative.
Do you have the show notes up? Okay, Matt, on that note, what have you been playing?
Mine are just incredibly similar to what I've been playing last week. 20XX and Octopath Traveler are really kind of the only games I've been able to sink my teeth into. Over the weekend, I ended up going up my cottage, and so I didn't really get a whole lot of time to play stuff. About 15 minutes or so before we recorded this, I started playing the new No Man's Sky update, and it blew my fucking mind, because I've been waiting for that game to be the game that it is for 2 years now, and I've sunk probably already like 80 hours into it between PS4 and PC, and just starting and reinitializing, if anybody has played it and knows what that means, like, the planet that I'm on looks completely different than anything I've ever seen. It's absolutely gorgeous, and I can't wait to kind of spend some more time with it. Also, the baby is still alive, and that's about it.
There you go.
How about you, Kalai?
I actually had very stressful. The last week has been very stressful for me, because reasons I'm not going to go into here. But I think this weekend my husband was just like, you know what, I'm just going to step away and let you do whatever you want, Kalai. So I actually got a manicure, pedicure, and then I got a massage. And then I played Vermintide 2 for like 30 fucking hours because I couldn't stop playing the game.
I want to play that game so bad, and I can't convince myself to buy it, but it looks like everything I wanted from Left 4 Dead, even though I loved Left 4 Dead, plus like RPG-ness in killing things.
Yes, you should buy it and come play with me.
What do you have it on?
PC.
You may have convinced me.
And technically I have it for Xbox as well.
Well, that's just too bad because I don't have a fucking Xbox, so.
I don't play it on Xbox, I play it on PlayStation.
Yeah, I may do that because it looks fucking so good.
It is really good. It's a multiplayer game that you can play by yourself, but it's not as fun and it's not as easy. So I do recommend you play with people. We have people in our Facebook group that do play, and I was playing with Matt, and Matt introduced me to another person who doesn't follow us, so I'm not going to tell you their name. And we were playing all weekend long. They were helping me gear up because it has MMO qualities, except there's no storyline. There's really no storyline. There's story missions. I couldn't tell you what happens in those story missions because the whole point is just to run around kill Skaven. That's the point.
Yeah, right.
But it's like exactly like Left 4 Dead with RPG elements. The interesting part I like about this, and I found out, is when you go into a private group, if you decide to fill with NPCs, which you can do a private group and fill your group with NPCs, it just doesn't take the starting NPCs. It takes your NPCs of the classes you do not use in the game. So if you take your better weapons and equip them to your non-used classes, it will pull those characters.
That is pretty cool. So you can kind of level up your own solo party.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I was playing with some level 30s, and they were helping me get through, because you need to go through all the story missions so that way you can do what's called random play. You get no experience for killing the rats. You could kill as many rats as you want. You don't get experience for it. So a lot of times, You don't want to fight things if you do not have to. And when you pug with people, sometimes those people just want to run around and kill everything. They want to be top of the leaderboard, but that's not the point.
Right.
You know, you get points for getting tomes that are hidden. So, like, during the entire game we're playing, we're looking up where these tomes are because they're like jump puzzles to get to them. And then you can store them, but if you die, you drop them. Or they do things to your party's health. Like, for example, you pick up the first one, and your health goes down by 50%. You cannot get above 50%, which makes you more experience you get in the end. The higher the difficulty gives you more experience, and the people I'm playing with are farming to go up to, like, champion level and higher level. So I was having a blast. I mean, a blast. And I was playing all weekend long. On Sunday, I was like, are you going to be on to play with me? I want to play Vermintide. And Matt's like, no, I got a birthday party I got to go to. And I'm like, yeah, he'll have another one, but apparently that's not an excuse.
Yeah, that does. I've had that on my radar for a little while, and I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. But maybe I will, so we can jam together a little bit.
Yeah, I would really like that. I've been having a lot of fun, and I can introduce you to people that would really help.
Yeah, definitely. We should get those people into the group.
Yeah, those are the kind of best days when you can play, like, literally get the opportunity to just say, you know what? Let me just play video games all day and just relax and have fun. And it's like, and then when you see that, feel that sense of progression, and you feel that sense of just kicking ass, no matter what it is that you're playing, it's like, it is therapeutic. It's like I played like for Yis Origin for like 3-4 hours straight, and I'm like, okay, you know what? This boss is a pain in the ass, but I'm having a lot of fun at the same time. And then even like the other little games that I played this past weekend, I bounced around from Danger Zone to Tesla versus Lovecraft and a few Hyper Sentinel, which is also on the Switch, by the way, and a few others. It's just like you feel really cool. Even like X-Morph Defense, which is a game I've talked about. I conquered another continent, and even though I had to admit I put the difficulty on easy, and I shouldn't do that because it's really hard on normal when you don't have anything upgraded. It was still just cool to be able to just blow things up. So I totally roll with you on that. I honestly want to get more time in for like Vita, Switch, and 3DS, just so then I can, like, you know, lose myself to those. But yeah.
The other thing I liked about Vermintide is all the loot was done at the end, and you got a loot box, and then you went in and you opened up your loot box in a different area. Like, you weren't, nobody stopped to get loot.
Yeah, you're not like hounding each other to pick things up or whatever.
Exactly. There are places where you can get like bombs in the level or potions, which are really useful. But with the people I'm working with, they're like, oh no, you take it. You know, you need to heal now, and you need to draw. Like, they were just so understanding and so helpful in me learning the game. It was just a blast. The other game I've been playing is Dragon Quest VIII.
Still? Oh no, wait. Is it? Yeah, it was VIII, right? You weren't playing X before.
No, I'm paying VIII.
Yeah.
So, I've been having a lot of fun with that, and I'm like, oh, look, I've gotten this far, and, you know, because it's easy just to pick up and grind when I'm at work. Let me see, what else have I been playing? Oh, I picked up a new game for the Switch. I entered the Gungeon.
Oh, man. That game is so brutally hard.
But now, they just released version update 1.10, which actually effectively turns it into an entirely new game, but they do a lot of balancing out issues with the difficulty, with the guiding, things like that. There's like a whole new section apparently.
The advanced Gungeons and Dragons update. Yeah,
so
thing.
They do.
That's why I bought it. Yeah, name like that.
Yeah, how could you not?
You know it's co-op.
I do know it's co-op.
And there's actually a gun that fires the entire solar system. So, like, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter. I don't know if Pluto is included. I hope it is, because I don't give a damn what they say, but Pluto, my boy, you know?
Pluto is a planet, bro.
Pluto's my dog.
I don't think I've ever made it past, like, the fourth stage in that game. And that was when, like, I was playing it a ton on my PS4, and I actually picked it up for the Switch 2, because I think it's just a good game to have handheld. And I can't get past the fucking second level. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, even the first boss sometimes will kill me.
That's what we were... well, I say we because we were playing the co-op version.
Couch co-op?
couch co-op. Yes, we were playing couch co-op, which is really funny because when your partner dies, you can use your friendship cookie to bring them back.
Yeah, right.
Really? No, it's called the friendship cookie.
Yeah, that's it. It is really, really fun, but it's also stupidly difficult.
Yeah, because it was like, oh, let's go into the dungeon. And they're like, well, you sure you don't want to take the tutorial first? So we'd go to the tutorial, but the tutorial wouldn't let us in because you can only do the tutorial in single player.
Weird.
And with the second player, the only thing I don't like about the game is the second player has to be the purple robe guy, the Reaper looking guy.
The cultist.
The cult, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Which I didn't understand. That was weird, but to each his own. We had fun, though.
Yeah, good.
So, let's switch over to the topic of our show. Just a few years ago, VR was seen as the future of the industry. Today, that doesn't seem like the case. Sales numbers across the board are trending downward and don't show much sign of picking up. So, yeah, it looks like VR is in a downturn. What do you think, Roberto?
All right, so as before I hopped on board the podcast, I literally just finished I was playing two VR games. One was called DWVR, and the other was called Mortal Blitz. And both games were similar but different. One was like a wave shooter where you can move around, but there was no music. It looked like a tech demo. And, you know, the combat was fun, but it was just, once again, it felt like a tech demo. No music, no story, nothing. Mortal Blitz has, like, a cyberpunk, sci-fi, transhuman, cyborg-type thing to it. But it was also, and it was great to play, but except for the fact that the physical practicality was not working out. And I think that's where we draw the line of what's happening.
What do you mean by that? The physical practicality wasn't working out.
So,
like your movement range didn't match what you needed to do in game.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what happened. The first thing that happened was that the PSVR headset. I have the Generation 1 model, which I should have gotten the second generation because the wire was in the second generation. It's in the back of the head. This one's on the left side. Also, you have to have like headphones. There's a wired headphone piece that you have to connect and then put into your ears versus the second generation, which has the wireless, the earphones already in. So so now you got this big, heavy cable tethered to your VR and you have to move around. Now in the Mortal Blitz, I was in a corridor under heavy fire from like cyborgs and I tried to take cover. And then when I did that, it said out of range. So then on top of that, the screen started to like warp, distort. Like if you ever had that kind of distortion happen, I tried resetting it, but it just wasn't responding and I got shot to pieces and I died. Like I was this close to finishing the level before we started the podcast. And, I was very frustrated. On one hand, when it was working, I was able to like stun a guy, throw him in the air and then do like Quentin Tarantino, Desperado, shoot him in midair, and then you get a big score. And the music was cool, and the effects were cool, but when that happened, I got frustrated. So, I think
I have a question for you now. Real quick question. How long did you play each of these games for?
Well, the VR, I'd say both of them together was about an hour. I will play both, like, and get into them further, but because I'm like I have a bunch of VR games I need to get through my back catalog, and that's not including other experiences that I've had like Killing Floor Incursion and Blasters of the Universe, but at the same time, it does I think measure a couple of things that I think that are hindering the industry. The first is the price point. VR is expensive, and I think that's the first problem that's happening with that. I think they could really kind of make it cheaper, you know, especially considering that we are entering the last life cycle of the PlayStation 4 in particular. The last section of the life cycle, I should say. But they haven't really done that. And I feel that's the first, like, and then also on top of that, you need the Move controllers for certain games and you also need the camera. So that's like another thing that was kind of a hindrance.
I think the fact that, like, so if you buy a PS4, right, you have your PS4 and you can play games on it. But for any VR headset, really aside from, like, the Samsung Gear, I think it was called, or the Gear VR, and you need a phone for that. But, like, there's not a lot of high-quality, like, high-end standalone VR consoles, I guess, for better term, or, like, units. When you need some other hardware to run it, and the hardware to run it is generally expensive.
So that, and then so with the price point, then it's the practicality of it all. So the PSVR has a processor unit that hooks up to your system and your TV. Then it hooks up to your VR, actual VR set. So it's like, you know, on one hand, I know that the Oculus has like an infrared sensor and it's wireless, but you know that if you were to slap that onto the PSVR, you're looking at something that's $200 going easily up to close to $1,000. So as far as
the Oculus Rift isn't wireless.
There's one that's wireless. Which one is it?
The Go is wireless.
I think then it was that one. Because I went to.
But that really doesn't have the capability of what the VR systems are. The Go hooks up to a phone. You just don't have to put the phone in. So you have to have a way to get that software.
I see. Okay. Because I did do one. I did do a wireless one. With back at PAX West, I played a game. It was something Moon, Lost Moon or something. But in any case, so that's the first part. Then, like I said, the practicality is a hindrance. And then third of all, it's the software. There's a lot. I actually saw a video, and I need to watch this, and I would recommend it for everybody. There's a YouTube channel called PSVR for Parole. And one video, and I didn't get a chance to watch this, but I'll probably watch this and bring input next week, is PSVR being treated like the PlayStation Vita, in which all of a sudden you had this really big ambition, and now Sony's kind of like, you know, with hyping it or promoting it, and then the games coming out for it are good, but they're not getting enough attention. I'd have to say right now the software library for PSVR involves wave shooters. So I've already played about three. There's about two more I have in my library that are wave shooters. And when you look on the PSVR Dash, you see a lot of wave shooters. So, you know, you have the two move controllers, you got your left weapon in the left hand, weapon in the right hand, and some of these can be played with the DualShock, but it's like better when you have that accuracy. And I think that with each wave shooter, there's just like, there's not really so much you can do. You have waves of enemies. The most you can do is maybe change up the setting in the story or what have you. So in the case of Mortal Blitz, Cyberpunk. In the case of Blasters of the Universe, facing down a guy who got sucked into the 80s into a computer system, and you have to fight like 80s monstrosities. Time Carnage, I think, is one game I have to play. You fight, like, you can kill dinosaurs with a ray gun. So
here's another point that I wanted to make, and this is why I want to bring this back to the question I asked you earlier. Can you sit for hours in a VR system like you can for a game system, like a PlayStation or an Xbox?
Yeah, I think you could. It just depends on what it is that you're playing. So right now, for example, Mortal Blitz, I did have the option to play with the DualShock. I don't know how it runs and I don't know how it goes, but I did have that option. I imagine that you know, the free range movement would be removed. Like, I couldn't like duck behind cover, but it would be, you know, slave to a button. But you could do that if you wanted to do that. But there are some games that do not have that functionality.
I don't have a VR, and I have zero, well, not zero, but very little experience with VR. But so if I'm playing, I don't know, any game, right, not on VR, and I spend like 4 hours playing it, right, when I come back out of the game, not that I get sucked into it, but you know what I'm saying, when you kind of get back into life, there's no transition there, and I've always felt like if I'm playing VR for like 4 hours straight, there's got to be some like weird snapback to reality that happens when you take that headset off, like where you've had it on for so long that you're so in it. But I don't know if that exists. Does something like that exist?
I feel like it does. I've played like Blasters of the Universe, for example, for like 2 or 3 hours straight, and like you take it off and it's like, whoa, you know, like. I will say that at time, like even with the game that I was playing, something came up behind me and hissed, and I got like startled. So there are like
what about you, Kalai?
What's that?
What about you? Do you have that same experience?
No, because I can't stay in VR for 3 hours. I just can't. do it. I'll be lucky if I get an hour out of VR, which is might be the reason that these sales are so low. Right. You have expensive equipment for stuff that you can't stay in that long because you get bored. There's no good experiences. I don't think I could play a shooter like that for 3 hours and be right. satisfied. The other thing is have you ever put a hat on and worked out?
Yeah, right.
Right. I will say
he's getting sweaty as hell. Yeah.
I'm always cold, and when I play VR, I like want to strip down to my underwear and put the fan on like that.
Right, like
because I'm just so yeah. sweaty.
Even right now, I mean, I have an air conditioned home, but I had to turn the fan on to try and keep the humidity down because, like, you have to keep in mind you got the TV, the PSVR, the PlayStation 4, all generating BTUs of heat, and
right.
like you know you can't open the really in this case you can't really open the window because of the fact that you know it's warm outside in the winter it's better, but. There's that to contend with. So, like you sweat, you know, you do sweat. And I was actually like the lenses were fogging up, as I was playing the Mortal Blitz in particular. And you know, I was trying to like, you know, fight through that. And even like that DWVR weird ass game that I played, that had no music. Even then it was starting to do that. Cause like, you know, it's like now you got this thing that has heat and has a screen and then it's going
on your face.
Yeah. It's on your face. So
yeah.
And you got little rubber inserts there, like, you know, trying to protect the unit itself, so.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? If you really want me to try this out and see what it's like so I can describe it better for you, I will go out and buy Skyrim VR for my Oculus Rift.
Don't buy Skyrim anymore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think for me, a really big part of it is kind of what Roberto was just describing a little bit, in that, like, a lot of the games, like he said, on the store for PSVR are, like, shooters or shmups or whatever, and there's no... So, like, when the original Xbox came out, Halo was, like, the killer app, right? Like, you bought your Xbox for Halo. Or, like, PlayStation 2 had a litany of killer apps, like... Ratchet and Clank, or like there was so many reasons to get a PS2 and a PS4 or a PS3, you know, Xbox 360. All of these systems have had an app that said at one time or another or multiple times during its run, this is the system to buy right now. And I don't think that any VR system yet has an app that says to the mass market, A, like, this is going to be worth it for you to buy, and B, you need to play this game right now because of how good it is. I don't think that that game exists on any single VR headset or console.
Well, I don't think that's true. I mean, there are really good games and there's really good experiences, but nobody's advertising them. They're getting thrown up onto the store, they're getting advertised quick, and that's it, and nobody's actually pushing VR. So these games are falling off. One example is Wilson's Heart. That game is fucking amazing. I can only play it in about 20-minute bursts because I want to crap my pants while playing it.
So if that's true, then why is there no push?
Well, let's look at PSVR first.
Sure.
PSVR is being treated like the Vita. It is dying. They have to get games for that system. It's the chicken versus the egg problem. If, you know, if you don't have the software, you're not going to sell the hardware. And if you don't sell the hardware, they're not going to produce the software.
Right. So, I mean, I think that's the tough part, too, though, right? It's like, so if Sony doesn't see the sales happening, they're not going to push devs towards the system itself.
And exactly. I think, like, on that note, like I mentioned, there's a ton of wave shooters in particular for the system. And then there's a couple of, like, horror games and things like that. But there's not anything that's, like, a true immersion, like... You know, like Starblood Arena, for example. I could totally imagine a space flight based video game, and there are some on the VR that you can just don that on, and then, you know, fly a spaceship, lay back, and then, you know, look around, and
get severely sick.
Yep.
No, that's also another problem, is that these experiences can cause people to be sick, and especially with the PlayStation VR. I suffer severely from motion sickness. It took me years to be able to play first-person shooters or anything from that perspective.
I remember you saying that,
A lot of Zelda games I skipped. So when I wanted VR, and I wanted PlayStation, my husband was like, that's the lowest resolution you could possibly get because it's cheap. You can't do that. You have to go with a better system. So now I'm already spending more money because of that motion sickness. And especially those space games. I've played the big EVE Online. I actually got that as part of my bundle. Oculus does do some pushing. They did do the Oculus of Summer. They do sales, and I mean amazing sales, so that I'll be like, oh, look, you know, I can pick up Bomberman VR for $399.
Right.
Who doesn't want Bomberman VR?
But so I think, so if we're going to, let's jump back to, is VR dying, right, is kind of the general question that we're trying to ask here. And I don't know that it truly is dying, right, but I do think that there is a possibility that the current iteration of VR is dying. Because no single, like, I think Vive is probably the highest end consumer VR headset out there, I think.
It is, because it's full room.
Right.
So that means that if you get it, and this is one of the reasons why I thought about getting a Vive, because Vive has Fallout.
Right.
I mean, Fallout and VR, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but so, like, it being that expensive, and that, it's like $800, isn't it?
They did drop down the price a little bit. So when Oculus of Summer happened, that's what caused me to buy an Oculus Rift. It was $399, which put it right at that price point of the PSVR at the time. And it came with 6 free games to get you started, because they knew that you're spending all this money and then you wouldn't have the software to go with it.
Right.
So I started off with 6 games. Now, do I feel like I got to go out and buy 20 different games for the system like I would a PSVR or an Xbox? No, I don't. So I wait for sales. And I got, which I haven't even started playing yet, I got Star Trek Bridge Crew, because I'm a Star Trek fan.
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, like really good things.
Yeah, so I was going to say, with the Oculus, they did that that summer. The Vive, again, highly expensive.
Right.
But the Vive is through Steam. Steam doesn't advertise. Oculus has the backing of Facebook. So when I went to PAX East, Facebook had a huge, huge booth. And one of the things you could do is play their VR. They're like, we're showing this game off in VR. Now, there was a VR section that's being hosted by independently by a different company. You could try everything, but you had one or two games you could try. Like, there was no push. There wasn't... Vive wasn't there going, you got to try this system. Facebook was there being like, oh, this is the Oculus Rift. You really want to try this. This is such a fun game, and we're going to pair you up against another person. They had... The game they were showing off was Brass Tactics, mm-hmm. which is a really cool... tactical game where you're trying to take over each other's forts, and it's almost Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, because you have to pull off, like, you have to turn your hand up to see all your troops, and then you have to pull your troops and put them down, and they'll start going where they want to go and build towers and stuff. But it's even more fun when you're playing against your friends. So I made my husband do it with me.
Right.
I totally beat him, just by the way. But that made the experience more fun, as opposed to just going to this booth. They were like, you could play one of 5 general games.
So, I wonder if we're, like, I'm looking it up right now, actually. So, at the beginning of games as an industry, we had this, you know, like, the Atari and the Commodore and all these weird systems, right? And they weren't all necessarily, like, consumer-ready. Like, some of them were higher-end, some of them were priced competitively for consumers to get. And people were buying them. And then there was like a crash in, I think it was like 1982 or 1983, to 1985, where like gaming really was in a huge slump and like nothing fucking happened. And then Nintendo happened, and Nintendo like kind of brought video gaming back into home console market. And I'm wondering if the era that we're in now of VR is similar to that of the original console race, or the beginning of home consoles, where it's such a new thing, it's untested, really, like, you know, we're just really kind of seeing the what it can do and stuff, and people don't believe in it enough yet as a entertainment medium, or like a viable entertainment medium that's worth the price. And I'm wondering if maybe there is going to be a small crash, and then on the other side of that crash, or not even a crash, but like the small dip in sales that we're kind of seeing now, or starting as far back as last year, and then kind of maybe a resurgence of it with some different tech, different companies, who knows.
The other thing to note about VR is, when VR came out, I mean, there wasn't a lot of competitors, which is correct. There was a few. But even more so, it was before the Switch. Now you're spending $299, $399 for a Switch or $399 for a VR plus VR's whole setup. So, you know, if as a consumer, my money, I would buy a VR. I get a lot more experiences. There's a lot more adage to that. So these new systems coming out isn't happening.
Mm.
Now, the other problem with VR is you have to set it up. I actually have markers on my desk. I took wrapping paper and taped it to my desk exactly where I need to put my cameras because I use the cameras.
Right.
I don't have one camera like the VR. I have two cameras. And if I switch those cameras and I put them on the wrong sides from the way I set up the room...
Does it fuck everything up?
It does. It will invert the VR because it's now programmed to be one right and one left.
Right.
And I don't want to have to go through every single time setting up VR, redoing my room. Because you have to outline your room with Oculus VR. I don't. Do you have to do that with PSVR?
I don't
know.
With like the VR, like I have to... You know, like, I'm going to try something when this is over. Like, I put the camera on top of the TV. The TV is wall-mounted, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to actually put it on top of the PS4 unit itself, which is, like, kind of at my chest level, and see if that improves the accuracy and hopefully reduces that, like, spin thing. So that's kind of, like, it. So that's where it can get a little cumbersome, so I'm hoping that it improves.
With the Oculus VR, you actually have to take your controller and hold it down and outline your play area. So if you move out of your play area, it breaks the video. You see basically a fence comes up. So you know you break the area. So it prevents me from hitting my desk when I have the headset on, which is very important when you're playing VR. So I don't want to have to do that every time. So I learned that when I put my headset away, my headset is in a drawer underneath of me. So I put the headset in first, and then on the right side, I put the right camera, and on the left side, I put the left camera. So when I pull them out, I know exactly where they go on my desk, so I don't have to keep setting it up every single time I want to play a game. And that becomes a problem, because it takes me a couple of minutes to set up the VR, get all the wires, unconnect all the wires from my computer, which I don't know how hard it is to set up a PlayStation VR, but it's a lot of work for a game that you might play 15 minutes of.
Right. I think right. The other side of this, too, though, is that not only just consumers aren't buying it anymore, but developers are having a hard time. There's this quote from, it's a CEO of a studio called Future Lighthouse, and I guess they made, like, narrative, kind of, like, immersive content, and he said, in an article earlier this year, an industry in which more than $10 billion had been spent in less than 2 years, with magical technology that finally works after 4 decades of iteration, in which every serious tech company in the world is working, apparently happened and disappeared in less than 3 years, according to some smart journalist. Now, obviously that's not true, but we're not doing great either, and maybe it's about time we think about how to fix this. We've done a lot of things wrong. I've been the CEO of Future Lighthouse for 3 years, one of the leading narrative studios immersive content, and when I say we, I mean we as an industry and we as a company. I'll share this dirty little secret with you. We were doing great, but now we're closing our doors. So it seems like it's not just a consumer not picking it up problem, but it's also a problem for the developers of mostly just VR content.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think about what happened to this Georgia studio behind Eve Gunjack and Eve Valkyrie. They put some special magic into their games, but just once again, you know, I just think that, like, somewhere I feel that they didn't go further enough with the Valkyrie in particular. Like, after the 1 hour single player campaign, there's multiplayer, but that's it. Like, there's just a couple of game modes, and that's really all there is to it. And then even Gunjack actually is just 20 levels. Just, you know, where you can sit down and you can shoot everything, but it's not like a fulfilling, like a 100 level single player where you're fighting against the law in a sense, because, in Gunjack, you're actually like a pirate that like mines illegally. So your turret like defends against other pirates and things like that. So, it's a bit of a disappointment, I think, in some cases. Like, it just sometimes feels like the VR games are maybe even just a tech demo, or they're not fully realized, or they play things a little too safe. You have some rare exceptions, like, you know, like Moss in particular, as I heard, was really good. And then you have Doom VFR. And then also, one game I want to get is a Rick and Morty VR game, which I heard was really good. But it's like, you know, I think there's just, there could be more to realizing a VR game and making it seem a lot more than just a 5 minute or 1 hour distraction, but instead like right. a full fledged experience. I'm not saying go full fledged and turn into Sword Art Online, although that's probably plausible in 50 years. You know, turn it into something a lot more substantial and worthy of the $20 or $30 price tag.
Yeah.
All right. We actually went into our Facebook group and we asked, VR is currently in a downward sales trend pretty much across the board. Is the medium dying? Are consumers waiting for the next attraction? Joe says, because it fucking's garbage. Thank you.
Joe has very strong opinions and I respect him for that.
Yeah. Listen to the first episode we did about VR with him. Katie says, it's poorly implemented and anything under $500 price point is complete garbage and requires the system. Unfortunately, all of those problems need to be addressed before the medium can really be tested. Molly says, I tried out all the VR systems in Best Buy 2 years ago. It was a huge potential. I just think it's too much for the average person and needs to be further along.
Yeah.
Stephen Fontana says, personally, I think the market share is about as big as it will get with this generation. The next big wave of games is on the horizon, so maybe it will get uptick there. But VR is a luxury right now. Now a household items. In 15 years, everyone will have some form of VR set.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, is I think that we're at some weird breaking point with VR where we've reached its potential with this current iteration of what it is, and there's going to be this either a break or we're going to start seeing the next wave of it, and maybe it's cheaper or maybe it's just better, or it could be the same price but just better. I just think that we're with like the Oculus, HTC Vive, and the PSVR, we might kind of be at the tail end of it before it got started really.
There's a whole conversation that you guys have, but in the middle of it, I just wanted to point out, Gene says Robo Recall by Epic Games. That's my go-to showcase game for people I have to try out the Rift. Which he's correct. That game is really crazy and made me scream once or twice. Evan says, I'm waiting for standards to be hashed out and a clear market leader to emerge because I'm not buying more than one of them.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Agreed. Too. Is that there really isn't, you know, there's no defined leader. They're just all kind of there.
Right, yeah.
Gene says the Oculus is a great price point at $399 for touch controls. The issue is the bigger picture of the investment a solid PC is required, which is true. Veronica goes on to say, I know we are waiting for something that actually makes us go, oh my god, I need that. And there is nothing in the market right now that does that. I would rather spend the money on my computer to play better games with my friends than a VR game that might be fun for an hour. Sid says, I'm guessing most of the people who now want it can't afford it these days. I would have one, but with a house and kids, it's not a viable purchase.
Right, I don't agree.
Mm-hmm. Pat says, I'm definitely interested in PSVR for the lols, not least because I love the atmosphere of RE7 and think it'd be great in VR. Hard to justify the cost at that point, so I might wait for a price drop.
Is that the killer app, though? Like, is Resident Evil the killer app, but nobody talks about it?
Well, I have the game. I'd have to be able to answer that maybe next week, because I have the game. I just haven't done it in that mode yet, and I haven't even played it yet. But what I saw when I went to PAX West back in 2016 was, it kind of was, I mean, it just like, I saw one guy sitting there and he just got the bejesus scared out of him with that VR
yeah,
set.
Yeah, have you played Resident Evil?
Yeah, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it's gonna be even worse in VR. Like, or, I said, I play Will's...
Or Will's better? Do you mean better in VR? Because I want the shit scared out of me.
I play Wilson's Heart and that shit is scary as shit. Do you know that game?
No.
Roberto, do you know that game?
Which one? Scarlet what?
Wilson's Heart.
Oh, okay. Wilson's Heart. That... No.
You need to look that up. That's a game you need on VR. That's a must-have for VR people.
Wilson's
Heart. You wake up in a mental institution without your heart. You are dealing with mentally ill people, and the lights go out, and they turn them back on, and people are in front of you, and you get the shit scared out of you. I opened up a drawer or something, and a rat jumped out at me. I fucking terrified of rats. I screamed like a little bitch.
Wow. I feel like I think I might have heard of this. I see what it is.
Yeah, you should think about getting that for your VR.
Yeah,
that
game if is it gets amazing. There, because I don't think it's available for the PSVR yet.
It should be, yeah. It is.
Yeah, I do think that kind of goes back to the, like, so like I said, like, Xbox has its killer app, and PlayStation has its killer app, and yada yada yada, but I can't say, like, this is the killer app for Oculus, and this is the reason I'm going to buy the Oculus Rift specifically, right? It's just kind of, there are VR games, and you can decide whether or not you want this system or the other one, and I think until a leader emerges, we're not, it's going to be hard.
That killer app is coming. I predict that killer app is coming.
What?
They are doing a Marvel game for exclusively the Oculus Rift, because I got a little bit of a preview of it. I forget where.
Can I be Spider-Man? Am I going to be Spider-Man?
The only one I know you can definitely be right now, the only one they announced, is the Hulk. So you could do, like, the Hulk smash.
I'll take that.
Yeah. So, it's definitely coming.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I guess it's just hard for me to, like, Halo. I know when Halo came out, I spent hundreds and hundreds of hours in there, and I don't see... There's one game, and it's Beat Saber, and that's the game that I think I would buy a VR headset for right now. Listen, mate, like, I was a Guitar Hero junkie, and that's, like, Guitar Hero plus lightsabers, and that's fucking my jam, so, like...
Isn't Guitar Hero in VR?
I don't know, is Guitar Hero in VR?
That's a good question.
I don't know. But, like, if you could play Guitar Hero with lightsabers, wouldn't you want to play Guitar Hero with lightsabers?
Won't that kill the drum?
Is that a game?
Well, I know that Beat Saber will be heading Beat Saber will be heading its way to PSVR, and right now it's a big hit on regular platforms right now.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to get a PSVR. He's going to get an Oculus, so that doesn't matter.
In all honesty, I probably would get an Oculus.
Going forward, Jeffrey says, I think the problem is the cost and requirements. Most VR stuff takes a full room setup to play in, while most people want to play games sitting down. I think once you see better compatibility for people to use VR while sitting and the costs come down, you will see it go back up. Ichiro, I hope I said your name right, way too early trend reporting. VR is way too expensive and not practical for any consumer. I think AR will win, more a VR with a camera.
I actually agree with that first statement. I think that specifically people who dig board games are going to make AR win that direct fight instead of VR.
And I think, like, also just genre experimentation is beneficial. Like, for example, one game I played at PAX East, which was from the guys CodeSync, was Augmented Empire, which was kind of like XCOM, but done in a VR sense, which was actually pretty cool. And I think that maybe, like, that could also be, like, a revolutionary for board games in particular. So that it could work. I think it's just, like, once again, they just got to, like, just break out of the mold and just jump into doing more experimental things with the system.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay. Thank you, everybody, that did contribute to our discussion this week. Again, if you'd like to contribute, just come into our Facebook group and enjoy talking with us. Be surprised what we put up in there.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff.
We do have some sponsors for our show, as it's the end of the show. If you like us, you could go to provengamer.com. Click on that Amazon link and do all your shopping like normal. It doesn't cost you any money. It does help out the site. We also are sponsored with Humble Bundle for the Extra Life charity. I put a link in our show notes. If you click on that link and do all your PC shopping and get cheap games, especially like Vermintide 2, hint, hint, you can then help out the kids. So, how can they get in touch with you, Roberto?
All right, so I can be reached at PlayStation Network VectorMan88 on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation TV Vita. I could also, and I am looking for buddies for any kind of co-op or multiplayer, especially Killing Floor 2, actually. Well, Killing Floor Incursion, I should say, has a VR multiplayer mode, so that'd be pretty cool to tap into. And also, since we just talked about VR, anybody who has a VR headset, that'd be cool to kind of do multiplayer. Also, I am Major Sloth 1988 on Nintendo Switch. Twitter, I am at, my handle is at Jehuty88, that's J-E-H-U-T-Y, 88, in reference to Zone of the Enders, the second runner. And also Zone of the Enders, the first game. I can also be seen on stackup.org, military gaming charity, as a writer, and also here on ProvingGamer.com. Also, I can be seen on But Why Though PC, another blog and website with writings and editorials and things of that sort. Also, I can be seen on Instagram, MajorSloth1988, and also my Facebook, which is Roberto Nieves. And also, I'll be interacting, of course, in the Game Stuff's Facebook page. And, it'll be another interesting week. So, hope to keep in touch with you guys.
What about you, Matt?
I just want to say that I didn't know how to pronounce Roberto's last name till right now.
Nice.
I actually thought it was Neves for some reason.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I got
I'm
that
sorry.
A lot.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's
I'm
all
so
good.
Sorry.
It's better than the joke associated with my name.
I don't want to know what it is. What is it?
Oh, God. What do you call
it? No, this? Okay. Don't do it. No, it's okay.
No, I gotta tell you now, so no one says it. So what do you call a Mexican with a rubber toe?
What?
Roberto. So stupid, I swear. It's like Lethal Weapon 4 when the Chinese guy's there. Yanimbi. What does Yanimbi mean? My Nimbi means Yanimbi.
Alright, so, anyway, you guys can find me on all socials on Steam and PS4 at Missed Enough. It's MISTAHNUFF. If you guys want to explore the galaxy together, hit me up on No Man's Sky, because I will be playing the shit out of that for the foreseeable future.
And you can find me on Steam at Kalai21, that's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can find me on the Xbox at Miley21, that's M-A-I-L-E, the number 21. You can find me on PS4 at Miley1978. You can find me on Twitter at Kalai21.
It's too many, guys. You guys need to fucking consolidate your names.
My name keeps getting taken, okay?
I know. We've had this discussion. You need to squish all your names together.
If you like our show, check out the other shows on the Proven Gamer Network. You have the Trophy Whores, which is our PlayStation podcast. We have the Nintendo Dual Screens, which is our Nintendo podcast. And they're all awesome, so check them out. I would like to thank the people that have helped us get the show going. I would like to thank Isaac Sago, who has done our logo. You can find him at isaacsago.carbonmade.com. There will be a link in our show notes. And the band that we use is Take Away the Ugly. Thank you, guys. You can check out them on Bandcamp, and I will, again, give you a link to their stuff. So check them out. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
See you, guys.
May the Force be with you. See you next week. Have a good one.